Welcome back, everyone, to our deep dive into the world of chili peppers, where we're going to explore exactly how spicy they get, where they grow, and how you can actually enjoy the heat without crying.
That is a spicy topic to start with, literally, because we aren't just talking about mild bell peppers. We're talking about the Scoville scale's extreme outliers and the specific chemical compounds that make your mouth feel like it's on fire.
Let's start at the source because you mentioned the jungles, but are we talking about the Amazon, the Himalayas, or somewhere else entirely for these heat monsters?
Most of the world's hottest varieties, like the Carolina Reaper or the Butt Jalokia, trace their wild origins back to the humid, biodiverse rainforests of South America and the misty foothills of the eastern Himalayas in India.
So these plants evolved in these dense, wet environments, but how does the actual heat intensity work? Is it just a random genetic mutation, or is there a specific biological reason they produce such intense capsaicin?
It's a brilliant evolutionary defense mechanism. The plant produces capsaicin specifically to deter mammals from eating the seeds, since mammals chew and destroy them, whereas birds can eat the fruit and spread the seeds intact.
That makes sense for survival, but from a human perspective, how do we even quantify this heat? Is the Scoville scale accurate, or does it fail to capture the subjective experience of eating a pepper that makes you weep?
The Scoville scale measures capsaicinoid concentration through dilution, which is scientifically precise, but it doesn't account for the capsaicin's interaction with our TRP bone pain receptors, meaning two peppers with the same rating can feel very different depending on their specific chemical profile.
I've heard that the texture and the seed count matter too, right? Does eating the white pith, the placenta, change the heat profile compared to just eating the flesh?
Absolutely. The placenta holds about 80% of the capsaicin, so a whole pepper with seeds is exponentially hotter than a deseeded one. And the heat often lingers longer if you're chewing the pith because it's more porous and releases the oil slowly.
Okay, so if someone walks into a situation where they've accidentally eaten something insanely hot, what is the immediate physiological response we need to manage? Does water actually help, or does it just spread the oil around?
Water is notoriously ineffective because capsaicin is an oil and doesn't mix with water, so it just splashes the heat around your mouth. Instead, you need fats like whole milk or yogurt to bind with the capsaicin and wash it away.
I've also heard people suggesting bread or rice, but isn't the starch just acting as a sponge that absorbs the heat? Or does it actually neutralize the compound in any way?
Starches like bread or rice act more as a physical barrier that absorbs the oil and clears it out, but they don't chemically neutralize the capsaicin like dairy fats do. So the relief is often temporary until the food is swallowed.
Let's talk about the long game, because you mentioned enjoying the spice. Is there a way to train your tolerance, or are we just dealing with a one-time event every time we eat something new?
You can build a tolerance through repeated exposure, which essentially desensitizes your TRP bone receptors over time. But it's a double-edged sword because you eventually need more extreme heat to feel the same kick. And the damage to the nerve endings is cumulative.
Are there specific culinary techniques that chefs use to balance this heat so it enhances the dish rather than overwhelming the other flavors?
Great chefs use fat, acid, and sweetness to counterbalance the heat. For example, a squeeze of lime or a splash of vinegar can cut through the oily heat, while sugar or coconut milk can round out the sharp edges of the burn.
But what about the aftereffects? I've heard of something called ghost pepper syndrome, where the heat comes back hours later. Is that a real phenomenon or just anecdotal?
It's very real. Because capsaicin binds so tightly to the nerve endings, it can take up to an hour for the burning sensation to fully subside. And in extreme cases, the receptors can remain hypersensitive for days, causing a phantom burning feeling.
That sounds intense, but you also mentioned enjoying the spice. So what is the psychological reward? Why do people seek out pain in the form of food?
It's a form of benign masochism, where the brain releases endorphins to counteract the pain signal, creating a mild euphoria similar to a runner's high. And for many, the complexity of flavors unlocked by the heat is the true reward.
So to wrap up our deep dive, if you're a beginner, where should you start if you want to experience this heat safely without ending up in the hospital?
Start with peppers in the 1,000 to 5,000 Scoville range, like jalapenos or serranos, and always have a glass of cold milk or a piece of bread ready before you take that first bite.
That is a solid takeaway. Respect the capsaicin, use fat to manage the burn, and remember that the heat is a flavor enhancer, not just a punishment. Thanks for joining us on this fiery journey through the jungles and our tongues.